In prayer with me, please. God, may we hear you speaking to us through the music and through the spoken word, and may we not hear with just our ears, but may we hear with our hearts also. Amen. Today concludes a three-week series that we've entitled Be the Church. And as we know that the final words that Jesus said when he commissioned us in Matthew 28, it says, go there and into all the world, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all of my commandments, and remember that I am with you always to the end of the age. And so he commissioned all of us to go out into the world, but he didn't just send us out. He also said, I'm going to equip you also, because on that day of Pentecost, when his Holy Spirit came down to be with us, to reside within us. We read about that in Acts chapter 2, where it says, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came down from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. So Jesus, we were told, go out and be the church, but then I'm going to equip you to be the church. And so the question that we need to ask ourselves is, what does that mean for Carmel United Methodist Church to be that church that God desires? And so that's why leadership got together and they developed for us this vision statement. A vision statement that will not only, whenever we decide on various ministries and programs, we begin to ask ourselves a question, are these about connecting, growing, and serving? If so, it's what God calls us to be about. If not, maybe we need to rethink that. When we look at the stewardship and the finances and time that's given here at this congregation, we look at that and balance that against connect, grow, serve. Is it about connecting, growing, and serving? And if not, maybe we need to do things a little bit differently. And so we have a vision. So I invite those of you who are here and a part of this church family to share in the reading out loud of this vision statement together. But I know that there are some here who are guests or perhaps have not yet decided that they know enough about this church family to know if this is the family that they wish to join. So I invite those persons to listen and to hear the message that is shared about Carmel United Methodist Church. Will you please join me? At Carmel United Methodist Church, we are connecting with God and others, growing in faith and love through biblical learning, and serving our community and world as disciples of Jesus Christ. And each Sunday as we've taken a look at this series, we've had two persons from our congregation come and share with us from the perspective of the first week was connecting and the second week was growing. And today as we talk about serving, I'd first of all like to invite Nancy and John Adams to come forward as they are prepared to share with us an experience of serving that they had here and how it has impacted their personal hearts. So I share with you Nancy and John Adams.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Deuteronomy 10, chapters 18 and 19. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, and loves the foreigner residing amongst you, giving them food and clothing. You are to love those who are foreigners, for you yourselves were foreigners in the land of Egypt. Now we know foreigners also means strangers, and strangers are people that we don't know and we don't normally come in contact with. We have hundreds of people in this affluent community that are struggling to meet basic needs. And you note from the chapter in Deuteronomy and many other references in the Old and New Testament, there's specific mention of broken families, food, and clothing. As we serve these people, for us, and many of them are within walking distance of our church, you know, we feel a deep sense of Jesus' love and the presence of his Holy Spirit. And we want to share some of our experiences with you this morning. God has enriched our 50 years of marriage in ways way too numerous to mention. And we felt compelled to go beyond traditional financial support of church and charities. Probably the Holy Spirit, you know, a little voice inside us saying, you need to get personally involved. And despite our apprehensions, and we all have those, that little voice just kept saying, Just do it. I've given you talent and skills needed, and I'll make it work.
We're serving as teachers of ESL, that's English as a second language, to people from Egypt who are here in this country. We lived overseas for 3 years, and that helped us to understand the complexities of a foreign culture and another language. Still, taking on the challenge of teaching Egyptians how to speak English was a huge challenge for us. One of the ways we serve is to help them understand how to buy food and get good deals. They didn't understand the Meijer mix and match, buy 10, get the 11th one free. Our institutions are also very intimidating to them. The one that comes to mind is the dreaded Bureau of Motor Vehicles that they all have to deal with after they've been here just 1 month. But there is one institution that is a safe haven for these Egyptian families, and that's right here at Carmel United Methodist Church. They know that within these walls, there is help, and there is hope, and there is kindness. The staff and the congregation of this church have opened their arms and welcomed the foreigners among us. The Holy Spirit is working through Carmel United Methodist Church, helping us to serve, and it will help you to serve. Students, well, the students that we teach are here from Egypt. And why are they here? They're here because they're Christians, and they are afraid for their safety and the safety of their children. Each week, as we work with them, we are reminded of how God has poured out his blessings upon this land and the people of this country. It's been frustrating at times, and the progress has been very slow. Our students have had trouble understanding us and trouble understanding how to pronounce English words. And maybe it was in desperation that we said, why don't we try music? Because the music here at this church is so inspiring and touches our hearts. So we brought the iPad, we pulled up YouTube, we handed out lyrics to our students, and the first song that we taught them was, "This land is your land. This land is my land. This land was made for you and me." Imagine our amazement. They had no difficulty pronouncing the words. They didn't stumble when the words were set to music. We had tears running down our cheeks as they sang along with us. This was the breakthrough. This was when we finally connected. It was the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and knowledge and understanding, touching these students, helping us, just as it's helping Carmel United Methodist Church to reach out to the strangers among us.
So why serve? Well, perhaps the greatest motivation is to just look at Jesus' example. You know, he often interacted with and showed his compassion and love for the poor, the hungry, the downtrodden, outcast, and other disadvantaged people. Well, we listened to that little voice that just kept saying, you know, I want you to get up close and personal with those who desperately need help. We have been, and we're continuing to be, richly blessed through serving as ESL and food pantry volunteers. we daily experience a deep presence of the Holy Spirit and a deep sense of Jesus' love, and we know that those we serve share in this experience. So if you're not already doing it, we hope you will seriously consider serving on one or more of CMUC's numerous outreach programs, all of which are totally dependent on volunteers from within this congregation. Thank you.
John and Nancy, thank you so much for sharing this day. As we talk about the vision, and we talk about, we selected a scripture to support what it means to be serving. The scripture that this group selected came from the first book of Peter, chapter 4. And if you begin reading at the beginning of that chapter, what you hear is Peter is talking to early Christians about living for God. And he told them that Jesus did not live his earthly life just for his human, selfish, flesh desires, but rather for the will of God, and therefore he modeled his life for us. And then the next verse launches into a list of how are those ways that we perhaps miss the call to serve God and the kinds of things that get in that way. And there's a list of several different kinds of sins that can happen. And I'd like to say for us humanly today that we could probably take that list of sins and leave it there, but each of us, because each of us do sin and those things that we do get in the way of serving God, we could put our own list in there. But what God desires for us is to overcome that and to desire a different lifestyle. And that lifestyle includes a life of serving others who are in need. So the scripture that we selected is from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 through 11. Based on the gift they have received, everyone should use it to serve others. As good managers of the varied grace of God, if anyone serves, his service should be from the strength God provides, so that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. I think we need to take away three main points from this scripture reading, and the first one being that we are gifted. That Jesus Christ gifts every single one of us with one or more gifts that he desires for us to use to his glory. And when we use those gifts that God has given to us, also we are expressing gratitude to him for the blessings that he gives to us. I was thinking about this point, and I thought about an example in my own life that kind of that exemplifies this. I know we've said several times the last several weeks, I have been blessed with two granddaughters in the last couple months. And one of the things that I do with them when they bring their babies home is that I go and I stay with them for several days through those sleepless nights, which is certainly a reminder to me that there's a reason we have our children when we're young. But it's a gift, and it's a way to get them off on the right, you know, with a good foundation. So I help them through those nights. And the second time around, about after I had been there several nights and went home one night and came back to visit the next day, I walked in my daughter and son-in-law's home, and there was a package that was wrapped, and my son-in-law gave it to me. And I opened it up, and it was a Keurig machine. And I have to tell you a little bit about why a Keurig machine. Because I don't have one in my home, because I think it's a luxury that I don't necessarily need, and it's a financial burden. Because, here's my example, my kids live in an era and a time when what they like to go and to drink during the day is a Starbucks. So they don't think anything about going and spending $3, $4, or $5 a cup every single day. So when they think that they've got this Keurig, well, actually it's a money saver for them because it costs less than a cup of Starbucks from Starbucks. Well, me and my lifestyle, I drink tea. And I think that a little tea bag costs just a few cents. And so when I put my few cents tea bag in my teacup, it just cost me a few cents. So I think a Keurig is a luxury. So it's something that I wouldn't necessarily ever buy myself. So he was blessing me with this gift of something that he knew I would never do for myself. Took it home, put it on my kitchen counter. My mom was staying with me at the time. And I just made a comment about how big it is. And she said, well, you know, there are other Keurigs that are smaller. We could go get another one, and they're different colors. And I said, you know what? No, Mom, I won't do that. This was a gift that was given to me, and it's a blessing to me, and I accept it for what it is. And I know that every time that I will use that, that I will think about them, and I will remember that blessing, and I will be thankful to them and offer a word of prayer for them. God gives us gifts as a blessing to be used. We need to remember that from this scripture. Second of all, we are to be good managers of this varied grace. Two key words there, varied grace. God blesses us all with a variety of gifts, and there's a reason for that. Because God wants all of us to use our gifts, and when they're combined, we have a whole. And it's a complete whole. So anytime that we are missing anyone serving gifts, sharing their gifts of service, we're not completely a whole yet. So that's why it's important for the body of Christ, every individual, to be sharing those gifts. And finally, three, the third point is when we serve so that we don't risk becoming puffed up and prideful about something that we do. We need to work to maintain a sense of humility, that in serving and doing the good, we are simply using what God has given to us, the abilities and talents that we have that are to be used to be serve God himself. As I stand before you, and anyone who preaches in the church every Sunday, I'm always reminded as I come and stand that behind me is the cross. And for us, that's a, for me, standing here, that's always a beautiful reminder that the gift to be here and to serve comes to me because of Jesus Christ. And because of Jesus Christ, he can work through me and he can use me. And that's what those gifts are. God gives those to us so that they may be used and he may work through us. I want to share with you our next testimony for today. And I two things I want to intro. First of all, Lauren and Eric Ogle who will share. Lauren is a member of this congregation, as she will share, from when she was a little girl. They're now serving as missionaries in East Asia. They were actually with us, I think, a Sunday or two ago, because they're in the country for a couple weeks, and we had an opportunity to commission them at the end of this service. Oh, it might have been the 11 o'clock service, I'm sorry. 11 o'clock service we did. I also need to say to those who are joining us on the live feed that we will need to pause this portion of the video because they have requested to not have their video to appear on Facebook or any other kinds of media or on our website. So there will be a pause for you. We will resume, but let's see what the Ogles have to share with us today.
Hi, I'm Lauren Ogle, and this is my husband, Eric. We are missionaries with CRU, formerly known as Campus Crusade for Christ, in East Asia. And we don't say the specific name of the country we're in because it is close to the gospel and close to missionaries being there. So I grew up in this church, ever since I was about 5 years old, I went to this church. It looks really different around here. We're down here in the youth area. It did not look like this when I was a youth. I went to Ball State University, graduated in 2007, and was involved with CRU there. Got married to Eric. We got married in this church in 2012. And last year we moved over to East Asia.
Mm-hmm. I went to Purdue University and I graduated in 2009. I was also involved with Campus Crusade for Christ or CRU while I was there. And when we met each other and we pretty quickly found out that we had the same vision, that we both wanted to go over to parts of the world where the gospel is not being heard, and specifically to unreached people groups. And let me explain the concept of an unreached people group. If you think of the world is more like it's not like a pancake, it's more like a waffle. And we'll say that the gospel is the sweet syrup. And so when you're pouring the syrup, it's not just being smothered everywhere like a pancake, it's more hitting these parts, and we call these parts people groups. And there's in the world, if you accumulate it all, there's about 19,000, I think. And some of these people are reaching, the syrup is getting to them, and they're quenched with the gospel. And some of these parts are not being reached because there's these cultural boundaries, there's language boundaries, national and country boundaries. And so our heart is for, specifically for unreached people, those areas of the world where the syrup is not getting there. And that's why we're serving East Asia, specifically with unreached peoples from Buddhist and Muslim backgrounds.
Yeah, and specifically we work with college students, like my friend Bonnie. Bonnie's not her real name, it's a code name that I've given her. And she comes from a Muslim people group, and as far as anyone knows, there are no known believers in this entire people group of about 10,000 people. And so Bonnie and I, we became friends last year, and I had a party for Thanksgiving, and at the end I asked all the students who were there if they would be interested in learning more about Jesus. And Bonnie was the only one out of everyone there. She said, although I'm a Muslim, I'd be interested to know more about Jesus. And so it's really exciting that she would even be willing to hear about him, because so many of them are just completely closed off to wanting to know about Jesus. And so, yeah, we're praying for Bonnie, that she would come to know the Lord. She's heard the gospel and she's heard about Jesus, but it's really difficult when these students come from a background of, yeah, growing up Muslim, for them to decide to follow Jesus. So you, I join you to pray for Bonnie that she would, turn and follow Jesus and trust him with her life.
And so, as this sermon series wraps up, we hope that you would be growing and connecting and serving. It's always a part of our life to continue to connect with other believers, to continue growing, continue studying the scriptures, and continue to serve. We didn't see a burning bush or hear the audible voice of God or anything like that. We saw a need, and we saw that we are capable to help to meet that need, and so we chose to go over and serve. And I think everybody can serve in their own way. Whether it's right here in Carmel, serving here in lots of various ways that's possible, or coming over, you know, you can come over where we're at. We'll help you find an apartment. You could serve over here, over there too. I think everyone's called to serve in their own different way.
And we just want to thank Carmel United Methodist Church and the church family here for all of your prayers and all of your support to us. We would not be able to do what we do without the prayers and the support of so many. So we're so thankful for all of you.
Thank you.
Those are homegrown missionaries serving over in East Asia. And so as we close this series and talking about serving, certainly anytime we try a new way or a new way to serve, or perhaps a different population to interact with, sometimes it can be a little bit scary and a little bit uncertain. But I think that what Lauren and Eric, I hope, inspires us to be, to see that we are called and that we can do it, that God will provide what we need in the midst of our time of serving. Will you bow your heads in prayer, please? God, guide us where you want us to go, and help us to be what you want us to be. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's stand and sing today's closing hymn.